If I told you that I realized you were all I ever wanted, and it's killing me to be so far away, would you tell me that you loved me too? Would we cry together? Or would you simply laugh at me and say, I told you so? Oh, I told you so. I told you someday.
Hello, and welcome to the Humble Brag Podcast. I'm your host, Nate Mandel, and I am joined today by none other than my mic and my computer. So, thank you, mic. Thank you, computer, for joining. I'm speaking today out of none other than the Holy Land, Israel. Ah, for 10 years, I've been praying consistently. Well, maybe not so consistently. You know, have my ups and downs. But for 10 years, I've been praying to be merited, to be gifted with being able to migrate, make an aliyah to the land of Israel. And with Hashem's loving grace, that time has come. Me and my wife have finally made it. Ironically enough, during the pandemic, but we made it nonetheless. I'm eternally grateful. No words can suffice. I am recording today for the first time in front of a camera. So if you're listening on any channel other than YouTube and you'd like to put a face to the voice, you could check it out on YouTube and subscribe. Forgive me if I'm a little bit all over the place. I'm not used to this trio. I usually only have a mic and a computer for my notes. Adding a camera and making that the focal point for focus adds a little bit of complexity here. Nonetheless, I'm very excited about it. This opens up a lot of doors of opportunity. The title of today's episode is called I Told You So. And it was inspired by the song called I Told You So by Carrie Underwood. When I was about 14, I was sent to live by my grandparents in Washington. They had a 200 plus acre ranch up in the hills of Washington State, way up in the hills, all the way near British Columbia. So for a short while, I lived up there and really experienced not just secular life, but I guess you could say Southern living. And one of the many beautiful things of said life is, or I should say kind of was, country music. By now I've grown pretty tired of it, but I was enamored then, and there are some beautiful songs, country songs, as you probably know. But one thing is for sure, when I listen to music, when I listen to any song, I very often glean lessons from it, take lessons out of it. And when I heard this song, it kind of just sparked in my mind, and I've been wanting to do an episode on it for a while. It's not about the song, it's about the message. The words, I told you so. And the way that I conceptualize it is that there are two types of people with regards to this. There are the type of person, there's the A type, which is the type of person that would say, I told you so. And then there's the B type that wouldn't. And ideally, we should all strive to be the B type that wouldn't say, I told you so. And ask yourself, I ask myself, am I the type that would say, I told you so? I hope I am not, and I'm actively working on my character so that I should further distance myself from that type of behavior, because it's not just the words, I told you so. There's a deep, deep underlying root to this phenomenon, to this behavior. If you're the type of person that has the behavior of telling someone, I told you so, that means that there's a behavior with inside of you that is rigid, unforgiving, and frankly not at peace with yourself, the universe, this world. In spiritual living, we strive for inner peace for ourself and for the existence of all that is. We do this by extending our love and forgiveness to those around us. Whether you're right about a situation and the person near you, your peer, family, friend, whatever it is, have to learn it the hard way, it isn't our job to then go and say, "I told you so." Because that would indicate that there's a peace, a level of gratification that you're trying to glean from that little tiny act of vengeance, right? It'll make you feel good deep down for a second, a split second. It'll make you feel good that you said, "I told you so." Belittling or lowering the person that you're relaying that to, and in return, lifting yourself up a little bit, hence making yourself feel a little bit good. There's a higher level spirituality place in spiritual living where we reach a place of inner peace, where we understand that we do our part in general, hishtadlut, we do our part in the universe to converse, to be communicative, whether it's in a relationship with a spouse, child, or business. Say there's friction in whatever relationship, and you want to be communicative and honest, and you share your feelings, you express yourself. I don't know if you've ever heard the episode Self-Expression, I believe it's called. I really go into the dynamics of self-expression, but you do your part in expressing yourself and being honest. But then that's the hishtadlut. We work on ourselves as humans to be able to express ourselves, be honest, put it out there. Don't hold it in. Don't let it build up. We put it out there. That's the hishtadlut part. But then the other side of it, the way that the person you're putting it out to reacts, if they even react, is not up to us. And that's the part where trust, like peace and harmony within our soul, within our being comes. That's where it comes into play. And so say you had friction and you expressed yourself, and then the spouse, the child, the business partner goes and does something against the desired outcome of your expressions. You create a disconnect, and you essentially say, "I did my part, and I'm at peace with my life and this world. I'm at peace with myself and with the outcome that God wants." And I won't tell that person "I told you so," because I don't seek that little itty bitty gratification. I don't look for it. It doesn't satisfy me. It doesn't satisfy me to go back to the person and say, "I told you so," or "I warned you." It's not, again, it's not about the words "I told you so." That's just an example of a type of behavior. It's about that concept of, "I told you, I got you, I warned you," because that still means that it hurts you. If you have to utter those words, that means that it hurts you. It still hurts you that that person did what they did. That means that you're not at peace. You had expectation. Expectation is a whole nother thing, right? Kind of working down the intricacies of these phenomenon, but these behavioral phenomena are really interesting. If you have expectation, that means that, again, you're not at peace with, I guess you could say, the way that Hashem runs the world. So we want to strive to this place, to this level where we express ourselves, we're honest, because that is our hishtadlut, And we need that for us, for ourselves, for inner peace, for well-being. We need that. We need to express ourselves. We need to tell those around us and those we love how we feel, especially if you're into spiritual living, healthy living, where you feel like you're one with your life, you're one with the universe, you're one with Hashem, you're one with all that exists. You don't want any type of friction. So you need expression and love and honesty for yourself, for your own well-being. But then where do the problems start? The problems again start when there's other people involved. And boy, are there other people involved. Life is all about relationships. Relationships at work, relationships at home, relationships amongst friends. And hopefully, you know, meaningful relationships, right? You want to have relationships that are meaningful, that are impactful, that change you in positive ways. And one of the ways to have that are to have relationships without expectation, are to have relationships and communication without strings attached. That doesn't mean there are no boundaries. It just means no strings attached. I don't expect you to react a certain way because I respect the fact that you're an individual, and I respect your human status. And your human status essentially says that you're divine, you have free will, you can make your own choices. And hence, we all make our own choices. Going back to the I told you so, we say, you're my friend. I love you. This is how I feel about X, Y, and Z. Now, if you do something that goes against that, I'm at peace with the notion that I expressed myself to you. I'm at peace knowing that I did the right thing. And the rest falls on faith, emunah, knowing that I did what I'm supposed to do. I did my hishtadlut, but I don't control other people. It all ties into that behavior of I told you so. Because if a person says I told you so, or anything in that category, ha, got you. That momentary gratification. That reminds me, Jordan Peterson, there's that very famous clip where he's communicating with this female who's interviewing him. I forgot her name, and I forgot what show it was on. And it was disgraceful. There was nothing intellectual about it. She was trying to get him, like roast him, and get not roast him in the sense of comedy, but she was trying to really undermine him and just pick at him, and she had no concept of you know what he's putting out there and all that stuff. And he knows how to stay calm, and he's composed, and he's, you know, kind of working with her own logic. And he had mentioned something that got her to think for a second. You know, she was in reaction mode, or she was being active. And then all of a sudden she became reactive for a second. And she said something like, ooh, interesting, or I need to think about that. Whatever the word was, for a second there, he felt like he had got through to her and got back at her. And it came out genuinely, got you. It's funny to see, because it's funny to see a jumbo intellectual like Jordan Peterson. It shows how human we are. We're so human. When somebody's doing us wrong, somebody's doing things that we perceive as they are doing it to us, or they're hurting us, or they're, you know, so on and so forth, and then we get our momentary revenge, our momentary release, it's like, I got you. Ha, I told you. And that second of gratification that you get is fine, very human. We all do it. We can't always control it. But it speaks to a deep, deep-rooted feeling that we have as humans. Or I would say lack of spiritual peace that we have within us. And those who know, those who practice spirituality, those who practice being at peace with themselves and the universe around us, their life and their circumstances, and everything that's being dealt to them, they rid themselves of this habit, of this feeling, of this behavior, of needing to be right. Which essentially means that if something does happen where you were right and you warned the person or you requested something and then they learned their lesson, not just you don't go out of restraint to say, I told you so, or anything in that category, you don't feel the need to. Matter of fact, instead of feeling that, you actually feel sympathetic to the occurrence, to the person who had to experience whatever they experienced that would make you otherwise say, I told you so. So it gets even deeper. Not only can you rid yourself of the behavior itself to go say, I told you so to a person, you could get to the point of compassion whereby you understand that everyone's in their own journey, everyone has to experience things on their own, and you actually feel sympathetic, you feel empathy for the person and what they went through with zero strings, zero I told you so feelings and thoughts attached to it. I find that to be absolutely fascinating. There's a, you know, the entire song. Would you say I told you so? I hope I wouldn't say I told you so, because it says more about me than it says about the person who I say I told you so to. We all make mistakes in life. We're all human. If we could rid ourselves of expectation and become one with the universe, become one with Hashem's will, with God's will, with the way that everything's unfolding in this world, we will rid ourselves of that behavior of feeling like we need to say, I told you so. We will be at peace. Speaking of expectations, there's this great piece, and there's this great piece from Laser Brody, and I know it's not from him originally, but I read it in one of his books years ago, and I implemented it, or at least I tried to the best of my ability, a long, long time ago. And I could say the older you get, the more you deal with anything in life, emotions, relationships, basically all types of relationships, the more you realize the prevalence of this. And what is it? He wrote, expectation minus realization equals frustration or anger. So again, expectation minus realization, this is an equation, equals anger. If we rid ourselves of expectation, we can never reach frustration or anger. All frustration and anger is rooted in expectation. What's that mean? These are, you know, the basics of Emunah, the full and complete faith in one loving God. Expectation essentially means that you expect something to be different than what it is. That's on the outcome of it, but you expect something. And then when it doesn't happen the way that you expected it to happen or wanted it to happen, you get frustrated, you get angry. What happens if you rid yourself of expectation completely? What happens? If you have no expectation, you will never get angry. All of anger is rooted in expectation. Understanding that mathematical equation, it's so simple, but it's so interwoven into every emotion we have. Understanding that equation and getting that under control, we rid ourselves. I wouldn't say maybe rid ourselves, but you certainly then have the ability to get our emotions under control. How does this tie together? What does this have to do with the I told you so? Because they both lean on a similar phenomenon in spirituality, in spiritual living, which is that when we are at peace with the way that the world is supposed to work and run, half of our negative character traits, which are so innate, they're so a part of us, they literally fall by the wayside. They disappear. They're gone. Get rid of expectation, all of a sudden anger is gone. Anger is gone? Anger is one of the most prevalent and powerful emotions, expressions that the humans have, right? I know that really well. My mother always jokes, but she's not joking when she says, I was born angry. She gave birth to me. I came out angry. You know what I mean? She says something like that because she says I was such an angry child. And I know I was certainly angry from when I can remember growing up in ultra-Orthodox Hasidic schools, being abused emotionally and physically. I was certainly angry. I remember I used to do certain things. Anger is in my blood. Go crazy, right? Go ham, hard as a motherfucker. She says, I was born angry. That's me personally. But we all know somebody who has real anger, right? And growing up and then going to Hasidic schools where they abused me and I was afraid to go to school and all this stuff, anger built and built and built. By the time I was 10, 11, 12, I was doing certain things. For example, these are just some stuff off the top of my head. I loved knives. I would pick up wherever I can get pocket knives. And I would cut things. Not myself, thankfully. I didn't know about stuff like that. I didn't have that kind of exposure. No TV, no movies. The concept of cutting myself didn't exist. I would cut things, though. I would cut, you know, like seats of cars, maybe leather, paper, whatever it is. I would like cutting things. There was another interesting behavior that I used to do. I used to take paper and cut them up with a scissor into tiny little diced up pieces. We're talking tiny pieces. I used to cut up bags and keep these little bags. Now, thinking back, I have no clue. I don't know what I was thinking, why I found it enjoyable, or why I held on to those little things. But I used to take a ton of paper, cut them up into tiny little pieces, and put them in bags, and then keep the bags. A psychologist, I believe, had mentioned to my mother when she had mentioned it that it was all that anger that I was trying to control. So, you know, giving it out, in a sense, was cutting it and then containing it in these baggies. This is me at 10 years old, 11 years old. Thankfully, you know, I was the black sheep, you know, doing the right thing or, you know, doing what they were telling me to do didn't really work out. So I ended up being sent away and I was sent to my grandparents, as I mentioned. And over there, you know, it was healthier living, especially for me in that scenario. And I began to express myself to my grandmother, who was like a therapist to me. She started opening me up really young. We're talking about 14 years old. So you could imagine growing up ultra-Orthodox, don't know anything about the real world, never expressed myself other than in these violent type of natural ways that came naturally to me, with a ton of anger inside of me, childhood anger. I go out to Washington to my grandparents, and she starts opening me up. She starts having dialogue that I've never had. Right, so at 14 and 15, I know what it means to express myself. I know what it means to get it out. I know what it means to hug somebody, to have feelings, to put it out there. You know, within 6 months, I'm writing, you know, page-long letters to my mother about how I feel about the community and all that stuff. So I was really exposed to that stuff young. And thanks to that, and then subsequently, a couple years later, start getting into spirituality, not necessarily Jewish spirituality. Oh, I see that this is, this lights it up a little. Not necessarily kosher spirituality, but spirituality in general, which then led me back into kosher spirituality. But I was really getting into spirituality and stuff. I really learned how to contain and control that energy, that anger energy. And I think I'm mentioning all of this because I completely forgot what we were talking about exactly, but I think I'm mentioning all of this to say that we could get it under control, right? It's never going anywhere. The notion that I could get angry is somewhere inside deep, but it's there nonetheless. It's not, you know, it didn't disappear, but you could get these stuff under control. By coming to learn about faith and spirituality and being peace with ourselves, being at peace with this world, our circumstances, being at peace with all that's going on, and just feeling good and healthy and strong, getting rid of expectation, we don't come to anger. This is what I was trying to get to, I guess. Not that anger doesn't exist. I have so much control over my anger now, I could flip it on if I want to. I call it faint. It's fainting. It's fake anger. It's pretend anger. For example, the last time I'm with my wife now for, I don't know, 3 years plus or whatever it is, and she's never seen me angry. Just a couple months ago, I had this run-in with a police officer, a state trooper, and I had consciously flipped it on. I do it on purpose. It's literally I guess you could say a weapon now. Learning about spirituality and getting healthy at such a young age, thankfully, has gotten me to the point where I have it harnessed. So this police officer pulls up beside me. It's a whole long story, but he pulls up beside me, a typical bully, and we're rolling down the Palisades Parkway. He rolls down his window. I roll down mine. We're rolling 40 miles an hour. And he's yelling and cursing, "What the fuck are you doing?" Blah, blah, blah. He was upset. Basically, we were in a construction zone. He was stuck behind me. I had nowhere to pull over, so I had to get through the construction zone in order to pull over. As soon as we got out of the construction zone, I pulled over. This was after him, you know, tailgating me and being on my ass for like a mile straight. And I was confused, blah, blah, blah. But whatever the case was, we're in construction zone. I have nowhere to pull over. I have to just keep going. He has his lights on. He's trying to get to an emergency. Anyway, his anger kicked in. As soon as we get out of the construction zone, I pull to the side so he could pass. He's angry. He pulls beside me, rolls his window down, and he's yelling and cursing. I mean, you've never seen this. This is straight out of the fucking movie. We're rolling down the Palisades at 40 miles an hour. Both of our windows are down, and he's yelling and cursing at me. "What's if it was an emergency of yours, blah, 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 blah." I flip on my anger, and I start yelling back, "What the fuck you want me to do, blah, blah, blah." So we're just two rah, 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 rahing at each other, you know. And he peels away. So I peel right behind him, and then like a couple hundred feet up, he pulls off. Nah, you know, he's not going to let this one go. So I pull behind him. "You're not pulling me over. I'll just pull behind you. Clearly you want to, you know," still comes to the car again. "Rah, rah, rah, rah," and I'm rah, 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 rah. You know, we're just, that's all anger is. Just a bunch of steam, a bunch of noise, rah, rah, rah. But when you harness anger, when you harness that energy through spiritual living, through spiritual practices, through meditation, through education, when you harness it and you have it fully under control, you could actually use it as, I guess, in a certain sense, what it's intended for survival. You can use it as a weapon to rile you up if you need to be riled up, to protect you, save you, you know, fight or flight situation, so on and so forth. That was a funny story in its own right. I don't really want to get into that because it's a whole long story about police and bullying and stuff like that. But all of this is tied into being at peace, not having expectation, not feeling the need to say, "I told you so." And the reason "I told you so" ties into expectation is because, again, if you feel the need to say, "I told you so," or "Ha, I got you," it's almost because you expected that person to do something that they didn't do, right? Imagine I'm speaking to my younger brother and I'm giving him advice out of experience. Don't do this, that, and the other, right? Don't shoot yourself up with heroin. Stay away from crack. Don't sniff cocaine. Because I may say to him, I have experience in doing this. And if you do this, it's going to lead to X, Y, and Z, and you're going to ruin some years of your life. And then I find out that he goes and does it. Right? Now, if I say, I told you so, it's because I expected him not to do it. Now, that expectation that I attached to my expression with him, my sharing with him, is what ends up hurting me. So we want to stop it at that really, really early stage. You don't even want to express and share with expectation with strings attached. Don't attach that expectation to begin with. Share out of benevolence. Express yourself out of compassion. Express yourself to a brother, a friend. Share experience out of compassion. And then if they make, without expectation, if they make the choice to go down that road and it fails them, it hurts them, which is just, again, a learning tool for them because they're going through their own journey, then instead of saying, I told you so, you continue with your compassion and you feel empathy, sympathetic for what they're going through. And there's zero correlation to the fact that you may have warned them 2 years ago not to do it. Reaching this type of inner peace is like, besides for the fact that it's healing, it feels good, it's great and all that, I would say, and I've been practicing spirituality, I've been educating myself spiritually for, I don't know, I would say about 14 years, 13, 14 years, being at peace with this world, being at peace, and I'm sorry for the camera, it keeps on going blurry, it's losing its focus, I'll have to sort that out, I'll have to figure that out. But I can say that in spiritual living, there are a ton of tools, tidbits of knowledge, information that pertain to our behavior and our character traits and improving our character traits, so on and so forth, that improve our overall life and our well-being. But then there are specific ones that are so powerful. It's like if there were 100 points that help you live a very, very healthy and balanced life, both, you know, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. If there were 100 tidbits, you know, there might be like 5 or 10 of them that are this big, and all the other ones are like that small. This is one of the big ones. This is the heavyweight stuff. Getting this type of stuff under control is one of the big stuff. There are a bunch of little ones. Probably talk about it in the future, but this is why this deserves an episode of its own. That notion of I told you so, the notion of being at peace with the world and the way that Hashem runs it and the way that people do things outside of your expectation of it, being at peace with all that is and understanding that all you have is shtadlut is one of the huge ones. And that's why I dedicated an episode to it. With God's love and grace, should give us the strength to continue to be strong, to improve our character, because improving our character not only improves the world, but helps us appreciate this world so much more. Thank you for tuning in. Until next time, peace and love.